Big Red Revival.
Well, after going undefeated in the month of October, Nebraska's managed to go 0-4 so far in the month of November, falling to 5-5 overall and going 0-3 against the Big Ten East crossover games this season. Zach, it's been a while. Been a while since we've done this. You know, life happened, so it's been a while since we got to hop on here and talk some football. It's been, you know, some good high points. You know, Nebraska went on a nice 3-game winning streak there. You know, winning 5 of 6, got us to 5-3. Unfortunately, we've dropped these last two against Michigan State and against Maryland. Another 1-loss score for Nebraska. Takes us to 5-5, and you know, there's a little saying, you know, you are what your record says you are, and you know, I guess this does feel like a 500 team. And just kind of thinking back to preseason predictions, you know, I guess Nebraska's about right where they should be, right? I mean, 5-5, you got two to get one to get bowl eligible. So, Zach, what's happening? How you been doing?
Just living life, man. It was a good October, you know, as I mentioned on, I think the last time we
enjoyed it.
Yeah. I mean, that's my favorite month of the year. Just everything's in full swing. And, right. And I mean, I would have never guessed that our Nebraska Cornhusker football team would have gone undefeated in the month of October, just especially coming off that Michigan game, because that was the last one of September, I believe. And so, right. You know, it's good. It's just, you know, after, you know, such a, you know, a high point of the season where we were looking like we were kind of turning the corner and figuring things out, you know, the football gods had to strike us down yet again and just bring us back to reality and start, you know, allowing this football team to do, you know, what we've seen them do for some time now. So it's frustrating because, you know, it was such an exciting month, but at the same right. time, you know, here we are at 5-5. And, you know, if we go back to the preseason, you know, podcast, you look at it and say, hey, we're 5-5 and we have a real shot to be in a bowl. I think we're happy, but right. just the way it's looked, I think is just kind of like a dark cloud over everything, especially as of the last two games. So I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it's intriguing, but we'll see what happens Saturday, I guess.
Yeah. You know, especially losing these last two games, you know, especially two, you know, what you would like to think were winnable games, a Michigan State team that, you know, had lost 5 in a row, fired their coach. We're just kind of reeling, you know, to go up there, you know, you thought for sure this was going to be the one where we go and get bowl eligible. And then the rest is just, you know, icing on the cake. And then you come back home and you knew the team was going to play a little bit more inspired football, but you know, I guess you can also say Nebraska's kind of been winning in spite of how they've been playing, because when you lead the country in turnover margin, it's hard to win football games that way. And Nebraska was still finding ways to win football games, you know, -2, -3 in the turnover margin, which is absolutely crazy. And then finally, you know, basically the luck had ran out. You know, we had 5 turnovers last Saturday against Maryland, and you just can't overcome it. You know, Harburg has kind of regressed throughout the season. He stopped, you know, running through somebody's face mask like he was doing early in the season. He's now started running like Taylor Martinez, where, you know, before contact, he likes to stand straight up, you know, give the defender his ribs and take the hardest shot possible. And so just the turnovers has just been god awful. And, you know, as I had been saying all season, you know, even when we were winning with Harburg, it was like, you know, the signs are there. This guy, you know, this guy is fumbling the ball, dropping all the snaps. I mean, he's the turnover machine. And I mean, speaking of turnover machines, you know, I was calling for old Jeff Sims to, you know, get another look, you know, outside of those first two games and just kind of see what he's got. And god damn, I mean, it just, he's turning over the ball 1 out of every 6 times he throws the ball. 1 out of every 6 times he throws the ball, he's throwing an interception, which is absolutely unheard of. And then you get Chuba coming in, which, you know, people have been clamoring for. And, you know, it's like, hey, these other guys can't seem to hold on the ball. So we finally get what, you know, not what we want, but, you know, what should have been happening, I guess, is, you know, you got to have some consequences. Chuba comes in, leads a 90-yard drive, starts on her own 5-yard line, makes a couple nice runs, couple throws, and then inevitably a game on the line, third down. You have 3 points in hand because you're on the 5-yard line. We run, I don't know if it's the worst play ever. It's only the worst play ever because of the personnel. It's a fine play call, but everybody on the play did a shit job. You know, Coleman ran the worst route ever.
He should have been in the slot position running the corner route there.
Right. Yep. He should have been in the slot position running the corner route, but he wasn't. So he runs a very lazy route, gets bodied up at the line of scrimmage. Kemp gets jammed up, doesn't get off the block, and then Purdy, you know, capitalizes on it and throws the worst fucking throw you could throw, and it's picked off. Maryland hits a big shot downfield, and boom, hits a field goal with no time on the clock, which is the second time this season Nebraska's been beat on a field goal with no time left on the clock. First time, obviously, was first game of the season at Maryland's or at Minnesota. So, you know, we somehow still find ourselves sitting here in second place in the Big Ten West. This absolute atrocious division, but you know, it's all in for one more win. You know, it's really going to dictate how we feel about the season if we can etch out one more win and get bowl eligible. Zach, do you just want to kind of talk about what you've seen from the quarterback play? I guess all three of them, and I guess what you kind of expect maybe from the quarterback position or want to see from the quarterback position going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think first and foremost, one stat you did miss, and that is that we had one penalty in the last two games that we lost. Yep. And it was in the fourth quarter of this last game.
I mean, penalties have been good, but clean.
It's like, you know, and they always say, you know, you play clean football, you're going to win right. games. And it's like just another thing that Nebraska just seems to, you know, just shock everybody with how they can just do certain things and, I don't know, the same results. And so,
no.
I don't know. But as far as quarterback play, I mean, there's not a lot of positive things you can say here. You know, it's just... It's been really, really, really tough to watch. And, you know, Harburg, you gave him the benefit of the doubt, you know, early. I don't think Sims ever got that benefit of the doubt. Like he came in as a veteran. He had high expectations. He was signing all these NIL deals. He was going to be the face of this team in this offense going forward. And then obviously that fell flat on its face. And so, you know, naturally we brought in Harburg. Looked like, you know, maybe he was going to be able to do just enough to get us to where we need to be and win games. And it seemed like for a while, you know, we were able to find ways to do just that.
Yeah. But we were hitting those big plays, you know, we were hitting you know, the option pass. One big play a game to kind of bust things open. And defense was doing, you know, playing, you know, elite defense to keep us in it. So, but now these last two games, they haven't hit those big plays.
Yeah. And it's just like, it seems like, you know, Satterfield or, you know, Harburg, they ran out of ideas or ran out of, you know, those surprise elements of their game that maybe, you know, you couldn't scout before. And now you got some tape on him and you can, you know, kind of start reading him and find tendencies in a sense where, you know, he's making, you know, certain moves here, or, you know, just putting things off that, you know, good coaches will pick up on and then, you know, eliminate those big plays. So I think that's a little bit of that too. And that's why Brock Purdy coming in, or not Brock Purdy, I wish it was Brock Purdy, Chuba Purdy coming in, came in and, you know, there was that element of surprise. You know, you don't really know what this guy has because it's been so long since he played. And apparently, you know, there's some rumors going around that maybe he was going a little Willie Beeman style and kind of going off script.
Yeah, calling his own numbers.
His own plays.
Yeah.
Coach has got to play. Well, I got a better play. And, you know, just kind of. And
at the same time, you think it's like maybe he didn't even know what the fucking play was. He's, you know, the third string quarterback. It's like, I don't know that play. Let's run this.
Just like Willie Beeman in the movie. You know, he was sitting there reading the paper on the sideline and they're like, warm up. It's like, I've been there, man. I get it. but yeah, it's like,
what's that conversation like when you do that with the coach?
It's there's not much of a conversation. It's really just like an order, like you better get up and get warm because I need you and you better be good to me here.
Yeah.
And so if you're not, you know, you're going to be on the chopping block and it's going to be, you know, a tryout the next week. And so, I mean, that's what good programs should be, is like, you know, your jobs should always be on the line. And I feel like it's going to be it's been a big competition this week to see who goes out there and plays. But I just feel like it would be a huge miss if we don't run Purdy out there this week and right. we allow Sims to continue to kill us oh. and just come out there and slice our own Achilles tendons. I mean, every oh. play, every time he touches the ball, it's like, don't do these seniors and these guys who have us at 5-5 that disservice by doing that to our defense yeah. and offense.
And you just feel bad. I mean, Ty Robinson had his best game of his career on Saturday. Yeah. And, you know, you want to see guys like that that have been in the program for, you know, 4 years. It's like this, if this season ended and non-bowl game, it would just be devastating. You know, just like guys like that have stuck it out. The Newsomes, you know, it's like, it. You know, like I said, we've got two games to get one. you know, Wisconsin's no juggernaut, and fucking Iowa. We know what Iowa is. I mean, you know, if we can score 13 points, that's probably a win against Iowa. So. It's just been bad quarterback play. You know, it's obviously injuries have stacked up. You know, the one thing I will say, I guess also is the offensive line has, you know, been playing a lot better. I've been preaching the whole season about how bad Piper and Cochran were. And then, you know, they go down and obviously you don't wish injury on anybody, but the offensive line has improved. Absolutely improved. Like they looked good out there on Saturday, actually. You know, you didn't hear, yeah. there's no false starts. You didn't hear anything from them. So that's always what you want out of your offense line is not to hear anything from them. So,
yeah, no false starts, no holding the last two games. Right. I mean,
yep. And obviously you're about fifth and sixth string wide receivers. You've had your top three or four go down, running backs. You're on your fourth string and that might be a bright spot. Cause I think we've found something here in Emmett Johnson. Emmett Johnson, you know, he looks like RB1, you know, going forward into next season. The young freshman has really played well, you know, in all that facets, been able to pick up blocks, you know, catching balls out of the backfield and, you know, some maneuverability. You've seen him break a couple loose. And, you know, he's been a real bright spot on, you know, unfortunately on the injury front of seeing young guys get to play. It just, you know, I think Satterfield, like you said, we talked about a couple episodes ago about, you know, cutting him a little slack because, you know, this isn't the offense he came in here to run. He didn't come in to run the damn triple option. And, you know, they came in thinking that they had a quarterback that could throw the ball and run it a little bit. And, you know, now we're at, I don't know, we're averaging like 100 yards passing a game, which is, you know, just above. It's all the service academies, your Air Force, Army, Iowa, and then us. So it's bottom five in the country in passing yards per game. And now that we're not hitting that big shot over the top that we've hit, you know, you've seen Jalen Lloyd catch one. You've seen Malachi Coleman catch one. Now that we're not even getting that that big play, it's just the offense is tough to watch. You know, I would have loved to see, you know, Nebraska would have ran that ball Saturday on that third and goal. And, you know, when you have 3 points in hand in a tight ball game, but you know,
yeah. Look at what Michigan did in the second half Saturday.
Hey, yeah, exactly. They Michigan went for the demoralizing.
They completely abandoned the run, and I think that's what we need to start doing if we ever have a lead in these next two games. It's just, hey, yeah. Let's play. How many times this year have we lost the field possession game? It seems like in the first every first half of every game we've played, it seems like this year. We're always backed up and we're punting to their like 40 where they take it up to the 50 right. and then we have exactly. to rely on our defense.
We got to hold them to under 20 yards. Otherwise they're in field goal range. And
then maybe that's, you know, what speaks to some of the good stats the defense has is because they're always playing on a short field. So offenses right. can't fully open up their yeah. playbook.
Yeah. That's like, also true.
And it's like, you kind of wonder because now all of a sudden, you know, we've been in some games where our D line is significantly better and our DBs are starting to get exposed a little bit. Hartsog, you know.
Yeah, Hartsog is, he hasn't had a great season.
For the most part, he's solid, but he's always there chasing on a big play, it seems like. You know, there's always that one big play in the on the opposing side's passing yep. game where he's the one chasing him down. And he always gets him too. I mean,
right.
You know, bless his yeah. heart, as you say, but, yeah. Like, but yeah, it's just kind of like now, I don't know. And also one glaring issue that I started seeing a little bit more in the last two games is our open field tackling has gone down pretty significantly. I don't know if that's due to like us being beat up or fatigued or whatever, but Reimer had a really bad game the last game.
Reimer hasn't been the same since he came back from injury. He's kind of been a liability out there. He had that one really bad one. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, our boy Gifford, who's had, you know, an all Big Ten type of season, you know, the offensive has found something on him when he's playing like that Tampa 2 middle linebacker type thing. Like, he's been beaten over the top there about four different times. And the two times where, you know, they're like, oh, he made a nice play, the ball was severely underthrown. So, you know, there's that one, obviously, against Michigan, he got mossed where he didn't have his back, you know, had his back turned. The guy went up and picked it off of him. Purdue had one on him. So,
Michigan State.
So, you know, back to the turnovers thing, you know, I heard somebody bring up about the spring game. And I had forgot all about how bad the spring game was with all the fumbling. Remember, we had about 8 or 9 fumbles in the spring game, handoffs, snaps. And, you know, it you kind of just chalked it up to, you know, it's a spring game. No big deal. But, man, has it reared its ugly head. I mean, it's the same shit. And then people, you know, are like, well, here's how Satterfield's offensive is ranked in turnovers and stuff. And I guess coaching isn't something that I contribute to fumbles. You know, like that's a strictly on the player type thing.
Intangible.
Like there's no coach teach. Like if the coach needs to teach you how to hold the ball, you shouldn't be playing big time Division I football. Like, fumbling is 1,000% on the player. You know, there's no scheme that a coach is designing for, you know, that makes you more susceptible to fumbling snaps. Because, you know, like I said, we're not even, it's not like, oh, they're getting stripped. It's like they're fumbling snaps. They're fumbling at the mesh point. They're fumbling anywhere and everywhere. And you now see teams, you'll see teams when they come in and they're trying to tackle us that they're not even going for the tackle. Like that one where Sims got stripped on, the guy wasn't even going to tackle him. He was strictly going to strip the ball from him because he knows that he's a turnover machine. And sure as shit, you know, he coughs it up. It's just, you know, it's hard to be willing to put Jeff Sims back out there. One, he looks like a shot fighter. You know, after the pick, you know, they showed him on the sideline. He was literally curled up in a ball next to the injury tent. And it was just like, you know, he's mentally shook at this point.
I went to this last game too, and one of the turnovers when he came off the field, I just watched him. I just locked in on him coming off the field. And I don't know if it happens in film or in practice or in meetings, but it just didn't seem like there was a whole lot of accountability on him. Like at this point, like why are you just meeting him at the sideline and chewing his ass?
Yeah, I know rules got a real thing about pick and choosing whose ass he chooses.
Oh yeah, it's never going to be him or Tommy Hill apparently, but Tommy Hill fine. Tommy Hill at least contributes a little bit. He's got like his fingerprints on some wins here, but and like you said, I didn't see him curl up because that must have been like a TV shot or something. But
yeah, it was.
But it's just like he comes off, and then I get told by other people, you know, oh, he just doesn't look like he cares. And then, like, I look for that, too. And, yeah, it checks out as well. It's like,
yeah,
I don't know. He started to come around. He seemed like he was happier when he was just on the sideline watching Harvard.
Yeah, I think he's lost confidence in himself, man. Like,
yeah.
I don't think it's that he doesn't care whether we win or lose. I think he's just lost confidence in his game, which, I mean, how could you not?
Yeah.
If you're throwing a pick one every 6 rows, how could you not fucking question your game, you know?
And it's even beyond that, too, because obviously, you know, he's a turnover machine. Martinez had his issues, you know, both of them actually.
Oh, Tommy Armstrong. Martinez thinks these guys turn the ball over too much.
Yeah, I mean, Tommy Armstrong had his YOLO bombs and whatnot. But I saw something since like 2003, Nebraska by far has the most turnovers of any program in the country.
Yeah.
Doubled the number two.
Yep. Yeah, it's not a coaching scheme. It's unfortunately been like in our jerseys, you know. It's like something in the jerseys staffs.
Maybe Nike jerseys wouldn't make us fumble very much.
Fucking bring back the Apex.
Yeah. Whatever it takes.
Something, man.
Yeah.
The amount of turnover. I mean, you can't win football games with 5 turnovers. We had 5 turnovers on Saturday, and we were a third down call away from fucking winning the game. It's, you know, more just goes to, you know, show you how good the defense has been playing. And we're going to have to pony up a big bag of money for Tony White this offseason, because I've already heard USC poking around, because they obviously fired their defense coordinator. Tony White's going to be in high demand this season. I think he stays unless, he gets a head coaching job, which I'm not sure if he's ready for, Power 5 head coaching job. But, it's time. He's going to be requiring to get the bag, and Nebraska is going to need to pay that man to stay, because, we are all questioning how this 3-3-5 defense was going to look in the Big Ten and with our personnel, and it's looked great. There's been some holes here and there, but overall, it's been an A-plus defense. And I mean, we couldn't have asked for much more than we've asked for out of our defense.
Especially bringing in those Pac-12 schools too, because I mean, that's just going to match up better with them as well. And right. It would just be the ultimate Nebraska thing if Tony White does leave and then Satterfield's still here. And then we just have to like scramble on defense, but also still be shitty on offense. And it's like, Rule had some pretty strong words about keeping Satterfield. I kind of agreed with his like logic on it.
Right.
But at the same time, you can't just accept the fact that his offense is the worst in the country.
Correct. Yeah, exactly. It's like I get what he's saying,
I
wasn't going to be shocked if I woke up Sunday and they're like, Satterfield's been, let go or whatever. But Rule, defended this guy, and he's like, firing coaches. How's that went for people around here? It's like, well, it's went good for you. You just got an $8 million contract from us firing motherfuckers. So, he's right though. We can't just, especially because I think that we all see that the talent at the quarterback's position is absolute trash.
If we had anybody that could just run an offense, we would have 9 wins right now.
Correct. I mean, anybody. Logan Smothers, we're probably got 8 wins.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's Harburg is not a quarterback. I mean, he caught lightning in a bottle, and we were able to rattle off three Big Ten wins. That's not winning recipe. Like I said, as we've been saying, the quarterback for the 2024 season is not on this roster. We'll be hitting the portal probably for 2 quarterbacks. But there's a lot of pieces around him. I like our young freshman wide receivers. They're obviously getting to, getting there, cut their teeth. And, there's obviously some things they need to clean up. The route running hasn't been good, but, they're doing the no block, no rock, they're blocking. Mm-hmm. Malachi Coleman's done a great job blocking there on the edge. Obviously Jaden Lloyd is a burner, and so is Malachi Coleman. So you like getting both of those guys the experience. Hopefully next year we can get somebody that can, throw the rock to them, because right now, Harburg is missing guys by, 20 yards, mm-hmm. like just wide open guys. So you hope to, you hope to just finish this off and get one of these wins, get to a bowl, and all's well that ends well.
Yeah, it would just be just so devastating if we don't get one of these. And
oh my god, to end on a 4-game skid, that would just be heartbreaking. And it's
like both of these teams that we play, their best offensive players are out.
Correct. Iowa's best defensive player is out.
Yeah,
Cooper DeJean's gone.
Oh, Cooper DeJean, yeah.
Yeah, he's gone.
And then Wisconsin, there's a chance.
Playing. I was just looking today.
He got like 6 like touches Allen's last playing. Week or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I had only watched Wisconsin play once this year, and that was against Ohio State. And that was their best game that they had all season. And then I was just kind of looking through they've been scoring only 10 points a game.
Yeah.
They just got beat by Northwestern. They got beat by Illinois. I mean, the locker room is talking shit about each other, saying, hey, we're not all bought in on this. And so this isn't the same old Wisconsin team of the last 10 years. Down dog here.
What better team to come in and get things right for them than Nebraska?
We are the ultimate get right team. Michigan State had just lost 5 games in a row.
Yeah.
Maryland had just lost 4 in a row. So we were the get right games for the last 2 teams. So
we're the homecoming team.
Exactly. So it's, yeah. Speaking of Wisconsin, obviously with Matt Rule coming in, I think that you know, I think people have seen and got enough of like proof of concept of what he's building and what he's trying to do here. And I think we're all aware, you know, outside of the third down call and the previous game where he decided that we're just going to fair catch every punt, I haven't seen any too many coaching decisions where people are just like, what the fuck is going on? You know, I think you've seen all the team buying into what he's selling. You've seen his speeches and passion speeches in the locker room. I think we have a proof of concept that this guy is the guy. Now he comes in and is going to be linked to two other coaches in his coaching class. Obviously Coach Prime over there at Colorado, and then Luke Fickell, who also was hired this offseason. And, you know, right now, I don't know. I think you've got to give the edge to Rule of where the teams are at. I mean, according to Vegas, Nebraska's right where they should be. You know, we are a 6-win projected team. Wisconsin over under was 8.5. And then over there in Colorado, it's completely, the wheels have fallen off. The hype train is gone. They've now lost 6 in a row. They blew a 29-point halftime lead. And it looks like Colorado is not even going to make a bowl this year after starting, you know, 4-0. I guess, what are your thoughts on the other two coaches and how they compare to Rule? You know, because early in the season, people are like, why didn't we get Coach Prime? And I kept saying, you know, there's two ways to cook. You know, you can put things in a microwave, you can put things in an oven. And Colorado, you know, used the microwave, and now they're eating steak out of the out of the microwave. So I guess, what are your thoughts on Rule comparing to his contemporaries, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, I would even one up you there, and I would say probably it goes that Colorado put it in the microwave with Prime, Wisconsin put it in the oven with Fickell, because he has been good over time, especially, you know, with his work at Cincinnati. Yep.
But and then also,
I would say that we put Rule on the grill. Like, yeah. Hey, you know,
or the smoker. We're smoking.
Nice, I was going to say smoker, but I don't know that Rule's going to be around for the 24-hour cook. I think it's maybe a slow burn on the grill with Rule. I don't know, but I think there's a lot of things to look at. Wisconsin, with bringing in Fickell, you know, there's a big offensive identity change there,
right?
And so we've lived through that several times since.
Correct.
2003, I believe, 2002.
And also firing a very winning coach. I mean, it was kind of a shock when they got rid of Paul Chris last year. So, you know, it's kind of a shock to see Wisconsin in this state.
Yeah, and I think with Dion, I mean, yeah, they did what they peaked. You know, that this is as good as it could have gone for them there in year one, because they had all that attention early. And now he's not going to be there to build up that program. Let's be honest. Right. You know, he's going to be there. Yeah. He's got one more. Yeah. Maybe one more year. And then he's going to go on to the SEC and coach somewhere down there. I mean, that's what I would think. But with Rule, it's like, I think he took this to like be here for a while. Same with Fickell, though. I mean, I'll say that. But
Fickell, you don't think Rule's here for the long run or what?
No, I do. I think Rule took this job to be here for a while.
Yeah.
But I could see him potentially maybe going somewhere later on.
See, I think we got 6 to 8 years with this guy.
Yeah, yeah. I would agree with that. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I just think that, you know, if he does really, really well and it kind of just like plateaus at like maybe hopefully, you know, in our case, like 9 to 10 wins,
yeah,
and he's got an option, he would maybe go to Penn State.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he is a Penn State guy, and obviously Penn State fans are pretty not happy with, you know, James Franklin right now, because he can't, it's like, dude, he's not beating Michigan and Ohio State. It's like, guess what? Not a lot of people are, you know, so it's tough, you know.
But that's like, who you have to beat in that division, though.
Yeah,
luckily it is, changes, but it's like, next year.
They're literally number one and number two in the country. Yeah. I mean, they're the top two teams in the country. They just were in the Final Four last year. I mean, it's kind of like being over there. I guess we'll get into this here in a bit, but you know, like over there in the SEC West, it's like, bro, you got Saban over there, and you know, and then you got Kelly at LSU, who's a recruiting power. It's like, you're basically fighting for third place, and I'm sure James Franklin's, you know, super happy that divisions are going away, since now he doesn't have to play Ohio State and Michigan every single year. So, but I guess I'm sorry, I got off track here. I was thinking about what I wanted to talk about was Texas A&M. I know we're jumping around here, but since I brought up Texas A&M, obviously Texas A&M fired Jimbo Fisher and cut him a $76.5 million check to go away. I guess I've always been a guy, you know, it's like, hey, the sport's bringing in a bunch of money. You know, like when we fired Frost last year and had to cut him $15 million, I was like, yeah, you know, it's a lot, but, you know, you're bringing in a bunch of money and, you know, the program generates some money. I've got a tough time with the $76.5 million. Like, and, you know, I try not to be a, you know, a pocket watcher counting other people's money, but $76.5 million to go away. It seems a little excessive to me. What'd you think of that whole situation down there with Jimbo and the whole buyout?
A couple things. First off, I mean, oil money is good down there, obviously.
God damn.
Second, the night before they had their stupid little pep rally thing.
Their yell practice.
Before that, some like high up person there presented the university with like $176 million check. God, the next day, Texas A&M wins by 41 points, and later on, their head coach that they hired until 2031 gets fired.
Yep.
I mean, there's a chain of events here I'm seeing.
How much money do you have to make to or have to donate $100+ million or something?
And tell me a time where Jimbo was actually a really good coach.
I think you're just starting to find out that Jameis Winston was really that dude in college.
That's what I'm good at.
You know, 100%. It's more just showing, like, I think in our previous episodes, like, I think it's when I compared Shedeur Sanders to Jameis Winston. You're like, I'm like, dude, I think people are sleeping on how good Jameis Winston was in college. Like, that motherfucker he went undefeated 2 years in a row, won a Heisman.
Yep, and the plot thickens, too, because next week they are retiring Jameis Winston's number at Florida State. So it's like, that's chapter four. We'll see how it all pans out. But, I just think it's crazy, you know, the amount of money that's in college football. And
it's crazy.
Texas
A&M teachers unions and shit. They're upset, and it's like
Texas A&M is a team that should win, especially now they're in the SEC. They have a great brand. I mean, they're in the state of Texas.
And I guess that was kind of my next question.
They've never won anything.
That's the thing. It's like Texas A&M has never been elite ever.
Yeah,
never ever. Not in the Big Ten. Not in the fucking Big 12 or whatever. Anyway. Now not in the SEC. It's like. Like, they've never been an elite team. So it's like, I'm not sure why that was going to change. You know, when you're not the best, brand or team in your state. You're never going to be bigger than Texas. And you play in the division with Alabama, with Nick Saban. You're never going to be better than them. And then you have LSU, who is always going to be out recruit you, you know, or, you know, fucking going to be a better team. And you got a better coach there, Chip Kelly, or, Brian Kelly, excuse me.
Yep.
Apparently Chip Kelly is getting fired.
Yep, he is.
Over at UCLA.
He lasted longer than Frost, though.
Yeah, he did. I don't get the whole thing about, you know, A&M thinking that they should be something. It's like, you never have been, ever. You know, it's like, people are like, oh, Nebraska in the 90s. Like, A&M is never. Not like 90s, early 2000s, not 80s. Never. They've never, ever been elite.
And not to mention, they're two big brothers are coming to the SEC now.
Exactly. It's so you're just like, falling farther behind. In our division, we got Texas, Oklahoma, LSU, and Alabama. It's like,
I heard a good take. Dabo Sweeney's the perfect person for A&M.
Yep.
That guy is a weirdo. And I don't want to like couple these two, but he's a weirdo. He's very, very, very religious, and like clearly Texas A&M has their own cult thing going on. So it's like it seems like a good fit.
I don't mind the little yell practice thing. You know, like
I think it's weird. I think
it's weird. Definitely weird. But I'm always a guy for I like a tradition. You know, like
that's weird as hell. I could probably just skip over and see what the next one is. But
yep.
I don't know.
I get it. People seem to hate it.
These guys are like, I mean, nothing against male cheerleaders. That's great. But they're male cheerleaders and they're dressed in like Navy uniforms and they're just talking shit about the other team that's about to play their team. But these guys have never played football before. And it's just like,
do you know what A&M stands for?
It's like agriculture and am I off base here?
I don't know 100% for sure. Either. I was asking to see if you knew for sure. I think obviously growing up, I thought it was like army and military, which that is not correct. But I believe that A is agriculture
and mechanical.
Agriculture and mechanical.
Yep.
Huh. So why do they wear those fucking Navy uniforms?
I don't know.
What the fuck's that got to do with agriculture? Maybe I do hate it now. No, I've changed my tune. You know what? That is stupid. Yeah, I thought it. I obviously growing up, I thought it was army military.
Yeah, that's incorrect. For sure.
And then I found out that A was agriculture something, and was like, okay, but. Yeah, now those army uniforms are making less and less. Yeah, now I'm all against these guys. So, I know what that M stands for now. Stand for money, yeah. Agriculture yeah. and money.
Yeah.
So,
and it's like in these, like, what are they called? Cheer sessions or whatever.
Yeah,
they're held at like leader, midnight. Cheer
squads. Yeah,
they're held at like midnight in the stadium. It's like,
yeah,
who's at the stadium to let all these weirdos in?
Doing all these weird hand signals like, and ho, ho, hey, ho. You can't see me on the podcast, but it's just fucking, you know what? Now I think it is weird. it's changed my tune.
We accomplished something tonight.
So, yeah. So I guess obviously a big game coming up against Wisconsin. Other things going on in the state. You've been an attendee to Nebraska ball. I haven't seen one fucking shot of Nebraska ball. So, tell me what's the team look like? What can we expect out of the team?
Well, it's the best start of Hoiberg's whole stint.
We've beat up bums though.
Have beat up bums, but all you can do is win the games on your schedule. And we've covered 3 out of 4.
Yes. Yep.
So I think we look really good. We're deeper than we normally are. We got a lot of more height and strength and like size. Tominaga is obviously back, so that helps. Juwan Gary came back last night in a big way. He didn't start, but most of his minutes came, about 5 minutes in. He was the first guy to get subbed in. He had like 19 points and 10 boards. And, he's a transfer from Bama formerly, but... Yeah, we got a lot of dudes. I mean, I think we look the part a lot.
We got some size
before. Yeah, we do have some size. Yeah, we got this one guy. Alec is his last name.
The volleyball girl's brother. That they look like fucking twins.
So he is going to be like a fan favorite. Like going forward, he's a dude that goes out there and just hustles his ass off. He'll get rebounds like. That we've been missing as a team. Like he's a tall dude. He kind of reminds you of like a young Joakim Noah. Don't take that the wrong way, but that's how he plays. Like a lot of people hate him, but the dude's a hustler. And then we got the Jamarcus.
He seems like one of those guys people either love or hate. You know.
Yeah,
just I mean, like, you're gonna hate him all over social. I see him all over social media and shit. Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, but. We got our point guard back. Tominaga is obviously back and he's been playing at like high levels.
What's with the old boy that got beat up by the former football player?
He's good.
Who the fuck is
he's
that good. Guy?
He was flirting with the triple double last night.
Yeah.
He starts as our center. Like
I heard maybe flirting got his ass kicked.
Oh, I could only guess that. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But
that's,
I think we'll be all right. I mean, I was looking through it. ESPN FPI has us winning 19 games right now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think if we win 19 games, we can stay consistent and just improve a little bit. The longer we can keep Hoiberg around, the better, because that guy is just a great coach. He's a good basketball mind. He's got good assistants. He can get us to where we need to go, like as far as just at least winning a tournament game.
Yeah, I did watch a little bit. Obviously, I was watching the Kansas-Kentucky game, but was watching a little bit of the Creighton Iowa game. Our two fucking sorry ass rivals who haven't beat us in 2 years. Play. Creighton's obviously a top 10 team. Iowa, is Iowa. So it was just weird seeing those two duke it out. I was like, I don't know who I hate more. Who do you hate more, Creighton or Iowa?
Probably Iowa, I think, because I had to live in it for like four years or whatever. But yeah. I saw something on Twitter and I didn't think that a J-Skirt could be any worse. But did you see this picture? This couple had on sweaters and it was a split of Iowa and Creighton. And I was like, my God.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. And I think living here in Creighton, I think I hate Creighton or here in Omaha. I think I hate Creighton more.
Yeah. I mean, that's all it is.
It's weird to say because I hate Iowa as a state, a program, a university, I hate everything about that, but having to live here, one, there's a bunch of Iowa people anyways here, but Creighton, I think it's the fact that, at this time of year, people are Nebraska fans and then, fucking change the dial. And then it's like, hate on Nebraska and root for Creighton. It's like, I think that's what really, really irks me the most about Creighton fans. But I don't know, not a big fan of those guys. I'm, excited to see these guys play. I know the Creighton game will be coming up here. They usually play the week of
December 3rd.
First week of December they usually play. So, there's some streaks trying to be broken here. Nebraska hasn't beat Wisconsin, and I believe I have it down as 9 years since the 2012 season.
And before that, it was 1966.
Well, we didn't play them a bunch, but we've played them every year except for the COVID year where they fucking, got all sick and couldn't show. So it's been quite some time since Nebraska beat them. And, there's other streaks in teams that we had trouble beating, like Ohio State. The last time we beat Ohio State, who was their coach?
Luke Fickell.
So we're going to combine these two things and, we're hoping to break this streak. I don't know if we'll ever beat Ohio State again, but we beat them when they had Luke Fickell.
We shouldn't even have beat them that night.
Yeah. It's
Brax
crazy.
Miller went down.
Yeah. I mean, obviously there was other things going on that night, but I remember I remember the night very vividly. So
yes. Sandy's.
Yeah. Drinking that fucking blackout juice and Elk Creek water. So, I guess, what do you see happening Saturday? What needs to happen for Nebraska to go in there and get this W?
I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. A miracle. I don't think we're going to win another game. I just, from what I've seen from our offense the last couple of weeks and just our defense kind of deteriorating, I unfortunately wish I had better things to say, but I don't think we're going to get it done. I think they're going to beat us 21-10.
Who, consider all quarterbacks healthy, who should start to give us their best chance to win Saturday?
I think Chuba should start.
Yep.
But I think what we're going to see is Sims run out there for some reason. Rule already said today that it's kind of a long shot for Harburg to start. And then they brought a fourth quarterback, which is concerning.
Shit.
It's hard to say, but I would expect to see Sims run out there and start. And then it's like, how do you expect Purdy to come in there and do well?
Right.
And so, yeah. I mean, I hope I'm wrong, but that's what I expect. I guess you asked for both games, but I'll just leave it at Wisconsin because that's going to be the Achilles heel for us.
Yeah. Well, I think Nebraska wins one of the two next games. And just, kind of digging into these last 5-6 games from Wisconsin, I think Nebraska wins Saturday in a 17-10 game. They've only scored above 13 points once in the last 6 weeks. And if there's one thing we do well is defense. So I don't think they're going to be breaking 20, 21 points on us. So it's going to be low scoring. I think we finally see that big play come back and we, etch out a 17-10, 17-13 victory in Madison.
Who do you think starts at quarterback?
I don't even know who to think. Who do I think starts? I think Jeff Sims starts, which is fucking disgusting.
It sucks.
Which is fucking absolutely disgusting. You know, I'd love to see Purdy, but, you know, there were some rumors about his family being upset that he played because he's still hurt and he needs offseason surgery on his groin. So, I mean,
what is he hurt from?
Motherfucker barely been hurt all goddamn season, shit, man. But, you know, you'd like to see what Purdy can do. You know, it would be nice to see him get a week of practice, you know, as a, you know, the number one guy and see what he can actually do, because we know what we have in the other two. Nothing.
Yeah.
You know, so you would like to see Purdy get in there. And if Harbaugh can't run or cut, he has no business playing because he can't throw the fucking ball. I mean,
I don't think he can do that if he's healthy.
No, I'm saying if he can.
No, cut. I mean, I meant cut. Cut.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, he can run. We've seen that. But maybe this goes to with what you were saying, but like when you put out an injury report and it says Chubba Purdy is banged up from the game, the guy played 5 minutes of the game.
Right. It's like, and I believe he only got tackled one time, you know.
It's like, dude,
but
Chubba, like, do you want to be out there or not? Like,
right.
Otherwise, we'll find somebody else. I mean, we'll go to the fourth string guy.
Yeah, go to the
fucking
fourth.
Wants to be out there.
It can't be worse. I mean, we had five turnovers from the quarterback position. It can't, it literally physically can't be worse than what happened last week at the quarterback.
If you're going to get a guy out there who's fresh and like just doesn't understand the situation and can go out there and just like use his own athletic ability to like try and make plays, why not? It can't be any worse, like we said.
I am excited to watch this game, though. You know, a night game in Madison. And then it's on NBC. You know, I don't remember. The last time they played on NBC was probably when they played Notre Dame. And it's not Peacock, which some people had some gripes with Peacock, but obviously you were at the game and you didn't see. But the clarity I felt was really sharp. Like the production of the game, like the picture seemed really sharp. So no qualms there. So we play on NBC, and, you know, regular NBC. So I'm kind of excited to see a night game in Madison on NBC. I'm kind of excited to see what that looks like. And, you know, this is a bad Wisconsin team. This is a bad Nebraska team. This is a bad Wisconsin team. So I like Nebraska 17-13.
You changed it. It was 17-10 earlier.
Oh, yeah. Give him another field goal. 17-13. Okay. 17, yeah, 17 to not 17, less than 17. So, but
I have to.
Watch I feel the, like we do win one of these game. Fucking games.
I have to watch the game on my phone.
What?
Yeah, we got an early Thanksgiving in Iowa, so I've already planted the seed. Like, wife, you're driving.
I don't like any of those words. Early in Iowa.
Yeah, I know.
Like. Early Thanksgiving in Iowa.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving's on fucking Thursday.
Yeah, it's
I feel like Thanksgiving's one of those holidays where you don't need to. I think it's maybe just a white people thing. I don't know.
Like, yeah, listen, it might
going
be.
To, I'm
it
going
might
to
be
one.
White people thing.
I'm going to the one, and preferably the one that starts at Thursday at 1 o'clock. You know, my wife's family's like, oh, we're doing it at 4 o'clock. It's like, that's unacceptable. 4 o'clock? That's an unacceptable start time.
See, yeah, like for Thanksgiving Day for me, it's like, it's tough because the Cowboys always play at 3.
Right.
And it's like, do I want to eat early and then like, just like get that nap in and then, and then watch the game? Or do I want to eat late and just like get after it a little bit and then eat like halftime and then hopefully, you know, the game's in hand. But there's no good way of doing it with a 3 o'clock game.
Yep. I think if you start at 2 o'clock, you know, have everybody come at 2 o'clock, you're serving food right about the kickoff of the Cowboys game. And then it creates a perfect leave time of halftime of the Cowboys game. It's like, and everybody's eating fucking, it's about an hour and a half, you know, till halftime, boom, now fucking go. So I'm a 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock start guy. Mm-hmm. 4 o'clock is unacceptable. I mean, one, because it's basically dark here at 4 o'clock these days, you know? So,
1 o'clock, 2 o'clock is good because like you can get a solid breakfast in and then it'll hold you over.
Yep.
Like naturally as you know, that I love is a good breakfast casserole. You just get that baby in there about 8 a.m. It's ready to go by 9. You eat it. You're good till 1 to 2, and then you can do your thing on the turkey.
Right. Yep. Yeah. It's, you know, not even get me started on turkey, but, you know, it's the, yeah, this turkey, is the day to eat it.
It's overrated.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't hate it. I eat it on Thanksgiving, but, you know, those turkey sandwiches the next day fucking are really where it comes in clutch. But
yeah, just as long as you dump water on it.
Yeah, gotta sprinkle it.
Dry as shit.
Yeah, I think last year we went to my wife's family thing, and they didn't have mac and cheese, didn't have stuffing. I'm like, guys, I might not be back.
I mean,
here's the worst part: no booze. It's like, don't have any function without some liquor or some beer.
Maybe just don't do this again.
Exactly.
Clearly not, no mac and cheese,
no stuffing, no booze is a fucking terrible combo.
You're not equipped to have this party. Let's
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, and not to mention the TV wasn't even on. TV, you know, it's like.
Yeah, I mean.
Taylor, do you want to turn the TV on? Turn the game on? Yeah, I'd like that.
That's kind of on you though. You got to just take the reins and just go find the remote.
Yep. You know.
Yeah, I would do it. I don't care who I'm with.
I mean, I eventually got it going, but it's like, why? What were you guys doing before I got here? You know.
Or I would just like open up my phone and like put live TV on and just stand next to the homeowner, be like,
So, I don't know what we're doing, but I've got a turkey in the freezer, so I could see myself just, doing it here and making what I want to do. So,
you ever cooked a turkey?
What's the night game Thursday?
I don't know.
So obviously the Lions are the morning game, Cowboys are afternoon game.
Correct. Oh, can we talk about the Cowboys for a minute?
Yes, sir.
Is Dak the best quarterback in the NFC right now?
So I know people are trying to push that narrative, and he's not. And there's one overall that's better than him. Jalen Hurts is better than him, but you could say Dak's having a better season.
Hold on. I don't know that I'd know anybody. Who does Taylor Hurts play for?
Sorry, Jalen Hurts.
Okay.
Goff is playing the best.
Goff this season.
Yeah, he's playing the best.
Yeah, he is. But have you looked up the numbers, the numbies?
Yes. And Dak has played one top 10 defense, and it was the 49ers, and he looked like an absolute fucking bum. And the rest of the ones, he's beat up the New York Giants twice that are absolutely pathetic. Shouldn't even be in the NFL. He's padded his stats against the Giants.
Yeah.
He's played one top 10 defense, and he had his worst game ever. So,
worst game.
They're nice.
Couldn't have been that.
They're nice. But do you see the, if the season ended today, what the matchup is?
I don't want to hear that.
It's Cowboys at 49ers. Season ended today. It's Cowboys at 49ers. And
hey, third time's a charm.
No, it's just one of those things. We got your number. So it's another, you got a
hefty salary cap too.
It's another one and done. We're paying our quarterback has to drive Uber and fucking go home and, you know,
and he's harvest. He's probably going to end up doing that after these last couple games he's had.
Yeah. When you only play your he only gets $900,000. You know how much $900,000 is in San Francisco? Like, you can't even get you a two bedroom apartment.
It's $50,000 in Nebraska.
Yeah. It's maybe like 36, you know, like shit. Cause they get you that, jock tax and then state tax and you're probably taking home 200,000 of that, which 200,000 in San Francisco, yeah, is about 40 here. Is he has a roommate.
He's the quarterback
of an NFL team.
And they were roommates.
And he has the highest passer rating in the NFL.
Is there a better receiver in the NFL than CeeDee Lamb right now?
CeeDee Lamb is balling right now.
Yeah.
CeeDee Lamb is I've never thought that CeeDee Lamb was a top receiver, but he's doing his thing.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing his thing.
that helps Dax look a little bit. But.
Yeah. But no, it's another one and done for the Cowboys, divisional round and out.
I hope you're wrong, but I mean, there's been three teams I can think of off the top of my head that the Cowboys were better than this team because we don't have a running game.
Correct. And yeah. That's why I don't know why Jim keeps trying to trade me Tony Pollard. Jim, no one wants him. All right.
Yeah. I didn't want him either.
Yeah.
For Travis Kelce.
Yep. You know, also I'll bring up, what's up with your boy Micah? The guy just, first five, six games of the season, he just dominates. And then he's a jag the back half of the season. Just a guy.
Oh, no, he's not just a guy.
Dude, has he been playing? He really hasn't done much the last month.
I wonder why. Maybe he's getting a little extra attention.
He's going to want $35 million a year, so you can't have two $35-plus million a year guys on your team. And
how many do you have?
We don't have any. Not one. Bosa is the highest paid player.
McCaffrey
makes 18.
All of a sudden, Chase Young, he's going to eat up a big chunk.
Yep.
Kittle,
he's going to be trying to re-up. Yep.
Yeah.
But Trent Williams, I think, is our second.
Trent Williams, yeah.
Fred Warner. Fred Warner is probably our best player on the team.
Yeah, and he's like an afterthought on that roster.
I know, right? It's like yeah, that's, hey, pay Dak $900,000. You can just load up on studs.
Yeah.
And not injured players.
At least.
Like Tyron fucking, Tyron?
Tyron Smith, yeah. I mean, the guy goes down with a fucking knee injury every other week.
Every other week. So, big game this week in NFL, though. Chiefs and Eagles. Who do you think, who do you like there?
Tough one because I hate both, but I'm gonna go Eagles. I think okay. The Chiefs are gonna take a step back this year. They're not gonna go the distance.
Yep. Is the one of my favorites
AFC's bad. AFC's bad this year.
It's just a bunch of mediocre teams.
Yeah.
There's no
Bills are getting like all you said, that Bills are getting all the hate this week.
You see what my 49ers just went and did to the Jags. They were in first place. Or still are in first place, and we turn them out real quick.
Yeah, I mean, Etienne's good. Christian Kirk's good.
Yeah, they're a great fantasy team. I had those guys last year on fantasy. They're a great fantasy team. I mean,
Trevor Lawrence.
Just like the Lions. And the Lions. Lions are my favorite fantasy team.
Trevor Lawrence, I never thought would be as good as he is in the NFL.
Yeah.
Tip of the cap to him. Like, he's done well.
Back on Thanksgiving, one of my favorite games, I believe, is the Egg Bowl. Isn't that Thanksgiving night? Isn't that usually Ole Miss and
Mississippi State?
I mean, I just think back to that guy fucking peeing on the pylon and fucking getting the flag and end up losing the game for Mississippi State. Very underrated rivalry.
Oh, yeah. God, who was it for the Cowboys that recovered the fumble and then high stepped and then like threw it in. It was like Larry Allen or it wasn't Larry Allen. It was, God, I don't know. D tackle for the Cowboys, but yeah, poor memory once again by me.
Well, all right. So Huskers 17-13, you've got them losing Saturday.
I do.
We lose Saturday. I like us beating Iowa on Friday. So, like you said, just get us to the fucking six. Just get.
Yeah.
And I heard whoever wins this.
Hey, I got it. Leon let it go. Leon let it go. That's the one that dropped the ball before. But
I've heard whoever wins this game Saturday between Wisconsin and Nebraska is headed to the Vegas Bowl, which. That would be interesting. It's the day after. That one's the one before Christmas. That's the 23rd. Phoenix, which I think is where we might be going, is the day after Christmas. But two very good places for Husker fans. Obviously, Arizona's got a deep Husker crowd there. So
do we know the the conference like connections?
Yeah, so we go to Vegas. So say we win Saturday, it sounds like USC versus Nebraska. Got to think it's obviously going to be without Caleb Williams.
Yeah, he ain't.
Clearly.
Yeah,
motherfuckers are already telling him to stop playing right now. They're like, yeah, done, man. Heisman's gone, Natty's gone, conference gone. Just go ahead and sell. That'd be good, you know, two big brands. So
Last time that Nebraska USC played in a bowl game too, it was
a hell of a game. That was a hell of a game.
Barney Cotton coached us, and Tommy Armstrong threw for like 450.
Yep. Fucking
and I skipped a family Christmas.
Mike Riley was sitting up in the stands watching. Oh, is that the Holiday Bowl?
Yeah.
Yep. So
we lost, but it was good times.
It was, yeah, it was like a 30 something.
It's like, no, it's like 47, 45.
Yeah. It was a high scoring game. Yep. Yeah. So, we've rambled here, so I'll just keep rambling. Nebraska women's, as we become a women's school, Nebraska signed, the 5-star recruit from Elkhorn North, Brett Prince, you know, from Elkhorn North, a 5-star ranked women's basketball player. So the women's sports just keep looking like they're going to be dominating at Nebraska. So that's a pretty big sign, and I've been following her career. Yeah, exactly. So it's exciting. Volleyball still doing their thing. And
they are. And volleyball made number one Sports Center top 10 last week. Yeah, that girl like running into the stands and hitting it backwards and then continuing a volley. Yeah.
Yep. So I think they play their next game against, they play Wisconsin here again, at Wisconsin here, I think next week. So I'm sure that'll be electric. But this team is super resilient. I mean, that game against Penn State when they came down from 0-2 for the reverse sweep, just a very mentally tough, very talented team. So, excited about seeing how they finish out. But, well, that's it. We'll stop rambling, talking about anything and everything. But, you know, Nebraska, just, you know, limit the turnovers. Give yourself a fucking chance, you know, on Saturday. So, excited to see what it looks like. You know, as always, go Big Red. 17-13. Good guys.
GPR.
All right.
This is the Big Red Revival.